Koteya Yad Eved Ivri. I'll just read the Gemara again quickly. What's the halacha if you chop off the hand of an Eved Ivri? So here we have a machlokas amorayim. Abai amar nosim lo sheves gedola le'eved v'sheves ketana le'rav. Using the same terminology that he had in the previous sugya. Rav amar akol yunatein le'eved v'lachav en karka v'rav olcha peiros. For Rashi, or our girsa, both the nezek and the sheves goes to buying karka from which the rav olcha peiros. Pshita piches eitzel atzmo veitzel rabo lo piches heichidami de paska de rosh one o le rosh mechire hakol atzmo piches. So if you chop off the tip of the ear of the aved, so there's no shavas whatsoever, and the rav doesn't lose any practical value, so then the aved should get everything, and there's no debate. Eitzel Rabo plucked at the Baivi Rava. So here we noted that intuitively probably would have read this Gemara as a third case, and it's the opposite of the previous one, namely Eitzel Rabo, the low Eitzel Eved, namely that there's Shaves, but there's no permanent damage to his body. And what we're saying is here too, there's a debate between Rav and Abaye. Namely, according to Rava, the Eved should get, you should take the Sheves, and the Eved would get Peiros. Sorry, the Adam would get Peiros, and the Eved would get Karka. Rashi, though, doesn't learn this way. Rashi says, no, actually, this is Av Eitzel Rabo, and this is going back to the first original version of the Machlokas. In other words, the implication is that actually here too, and not here too, in the case where there was Sheves but no Nezek, in the case where there was no change in value to the Eved because there was no permanent damage, so then actually Abaye and Rava would agree that everything goes to the Rav, and the question was, why is that? So, again, yesterday we sort of ended off with a bunch of questions on Rashi. We said, L'chora, what's as far as Abaye? So Abaye says very simply that the Eved has his job is to work for the Rav, so all the Sheves should go to the Rav, assuming that he's going to get all better before the termination of the Avdus. And Rava doesn't like this, probably because the Adon really does lose out a bit, because he originally spent a lot of money on this Eved to get an Eved that's going to be doing water carrying and seeding and plowing and all sorts of very highly paid tasks, and now all he has is a Shomer Kishurim. So the Rav loses out. So if the Rav loses out, according to Abaye, why is he not entitled to any chelak of the Nezek? So the answer to this, as Tosus points out, is Nistach Pasadehu. What does that mean? We know that if an Eved gets sick, so generally speaking, assuming that he's still allowed, able to work part of the time, or it's not more than half of his avdus, so then who loses out? Nebuch, the Adon loses out, right? He paid a lot of money because he was expecting an Eved to work hard for 6 years, and he ended up getting an Eved that hardly worked for 4 years, but it doesn't really matter, assuming he was not working because he's sick. Too bad, you know. Sometimes you buy a lemon. Nistach basadehu. So too, that's exactly what happens over here. Be'etzem, the loss of value is entirely shayach to the Eved, because the Eved owns himself. Yeah, it's true, the Rav is zaycha to the peiros, but the Eved owns himself. So, therefore, the devaluation of the self, which is associated with Nezek, should go entirely to the Eved. The Rav loses out. Okay, that's like the case where he gets sick. In other words, that just because the Adon is losing out doesn't mean he's zocha to the compensation, because the compensation of Nezek relates to devaluation of the guf. The Aved, his guf is shaykh to him, the Pashtos. We'll talk about that a little later. And therefore, Abaye's logic is that the Aved should keep the entire Nezek, and the Adon shouldn't get any of it, just the Sheves. Now, okay, so we understand Abaye's svara pretty straightforward. The big problem for Rashi is Rava's svara. What's the problem with Rava's svara? Why in the world would Rava hold that the Adon not get the entire Sheves? After all, that's exactly, the Eved is hired, was bought to work for the Adon, so the Adon should be Zoch until 100% of the Sheves. And Taka Tosfos changes the Girsa, among other things, to avoid this problem. But what's the Svar of Rashi? And again, also, the other question we have in Rashi is, why would it be, again, Fardiak is correct, that in the event that there's only Sheves, then all of a sudden Rava would agree that the entire Sheves goes to the Adon. So L'chaira, the following is the pshat. According to Rava, Sheves is just a chelek of Nezek, as we talked about last time. In other words, and this relates beautifully to the Machlokas Rav and Abaye, the previous sukkah, Nezek and Sheves are the same thing. We only evaluate them separately because, like the Rishonim pointed out, all against the Baal and Mor, that if we were to try to be kolel the Sheves into the Nezek, we would get the wrong number, because Nezek doesn't really accurately take into account the lost work of the Eved. But fundamentally, if you want to think of it this way, if the Baal and Mor's Metzius was right, and perhaps it is right by an animal, if the Baal and Mor's Metzius was right, so then we may as well calculate Nezek and Sheves in one assessment. Nezek and Sheves are the same thing. We're trying to basically, in both cases, we're trying to compensate the Nezek for all future loss of work. Right? In other words, what did I cause? So, like we said all the way from the beginning, with the exception of maybe that first Rashi, Ben Chorin is not Omed Limacher. So, we don't have to compensate him for the fact that now he can't sell himself as an Eved. He's never planning on selling himself as an Eved. In any way, we're using Dmei Eved Kanani, right? So what is Nezek and what is Sheves? Really, Nezek and Sheves are one thing, which is that I caused you, for the rest of your life, to earn much less money. But we divide it up, because for the next 3 months, I'm causing you to lose a certain amount because you're not working at all, and then subsequently you're going to work a little less, you're going to work a little bit, make a little less. So we go ahead and we try to figure out the present value of your labor for the entire life, and the way we do that, the best substitute we have to do that, is the value of an Eved Kanani plus Sheves to make up for the fact that for the next 3 months you're not working at all. But it's all one thing. Nezek, Sheves, Hainuach. It's to pay you for the loss of income that I have caused you. So it's one thing. So that's why he holds that you can't split them up. Right? You can't be machalik between Nezek and Sheves to say, oh, the Sheves goes to the Rav, and the Nezek, so the Guf goes to the Eved, and the Peros go to the Rav. That doesn't make sense. Nezek and Sheves are the same thing. We divide it into two only because, again, of a technical calculation. There might be an additional chiv of Sheves, a special chiddush for people, the Hadke Banrone type business, but in the end of the day, that's all they are. They're the same thing. And that's why, in a sense, it's a little bit Rava Lishitaso, that Mamela in the previous sugya. There's no makom for nezek shelo pichez damav. Anyway, we won't go there for now. Fine. So now it's very beautiful. So what about if there's no nezek, there's only sheves? So then the sheves is just tashlumin for the temporary loss of work, and that could go entirely to the ado. So that case goes entirely to the ado. So you can't say that case where there's only sheves and no nezek, it's a machlokas Rav and Abaye, because in that case, even Rava would agree, it goes entirely to the Adam. And that's Rava Lashitaso, that Sheves B'makom Nezek is really different than Sheves Shalom B'makom Nezek. Okay, good. Now, and as we mentioned, okay, so Taisis Hashita has a different Gersa in the Gemara, that Rava, the Adam, will always get the Sheves Ketana, and that's very easy to understand. The fascinating Shita here is the Shita of the Rambam. Now, the Pashup Shad in the Gemara is the Gemara was only talking about Nezek and Sheves. Why didn't? What about the other three? Why are we not interested in them? The answer is it's Pashut. Ripoy is not a Shaila, because Ripoy just goes to his Refuah. So it doesn't matter who gets it or who doesn't get it, right? Nobody gets Ripoy. Ripoy goes to the doctor. And so there's nothing to talk about in terms of Ripoy.
Well, that's only if you assume Ripoy is a...
But that's what we assume. Let's assume. Let's assume for now. Maybe not so pasha, but we'll return to that question. The pasha pshat though is that way, and what about tsar and boshes? Of course, tsar and boshes are going to go to the oven, right? What shaychus does the adon have to the tsar of the oven? Nezek and Sheves, I understand why you could clear about it, because on the other hand, the Eved is still a person, but on the other hand, the Adon has basically bought his labor. So you could talk about Nezek and Sheves. Ripui and Tsar, if no Sheikh, it's compensation for the pain. Why would you have a Havamina that the Adon would get it? So that's why, it's very simple, why the Gemara only spoke about two out of five, because the other ones are pashut. However, the Rambam actually seems to indicate that our discussion is actually on all chamisha dvarim. The Rambam writes, Perek Dalet Halachim Gimel, Chovel be'eved ivri shel chavei, v'chayv b'chamisha dvarim, v'ilakach ben karka, v'rabu ochel peirosea. In other words, Rava Shita, we paskin like Rava, that it's... The Rav Ochel Peirus is talking about Ochel Misha Dvarim. Ule Kesheyetze Havid L'Cheirus Teitze Hasada Mitachas Yad Rabo Hezeko Hezek She'enu Ma'akev Melacha Klal Kigod Shekata Rosh Ozno or Rosh Chotmo Then Hakol Avidin L'Rabo Ban Peirus. So the question is, we have to deal with, I guess, Ripoy, Tsar, and Bosha. So let's start. With Tsar and Boshes. So L'chor you have to say, and we'll have to explain this a little later, but the seems like, first glance, that the Adon is Zocha in the Peiros of all that the Eved is Marviach. In other words, when the Adon is Kona and Eved, he's not just, it's not like just a employee. The employee works for him, and you know, for whatever it is, 6 years, but rather he's Zocha. He's acquired, he's been Kona the Eved, so he's been Zocha in everything that the Eved brings in. And Memela, that's going to apply to Tsar and Boshes as well. The Eved's brought that in. And, you know, you could think of it this way. Now, we'll get to a big question, and this is going to be that an Eved, if he keeps his own Metzias, generally speaking. So we'll get to that question shortly. But Tosfos says, going back to the basic point in the Rambam, Tosfos writes that what's the Svar V'Abaye, right? The reason why he doesn't get peiros from the Nezek is Nistach Basadehu, right? Just like a Chola. So we are clearing, well, what's Rava going to answer back? Why didn't Rava say that? So maybe the Pshad is exactly this point. Taka, that's a very good Shaila, Abaye asks on Rava, right? Abaye says, this should be no different than Chola Nistach Basadehu. So Rava's going to answer that no, that the Adon has a zchus peros in whatever the Eved makes. So just like he gets peros from the Dmei Nezek, he should also get peros from the Tsar and Neboshes, right? Because otherwise, if you don't hold that an Adon is basically zoiche in the peros from everything that comes in to the Eved, so then Abai should be right. The Eved should get 100% of the Nezek. Now, there's a problem with this, which is if this was really right, so even when he chopped off the tip of his ear, he should get the peros from that, because if we're correct, what are we saying? We're saying that the Adon is zoiche in the peros of whatever he brings in. So how are you going to explain that? So maybe I'll say, no, it's only in Boshes by Tsar. Now, there's clearly my theory is wrong. There's no halacha that the Adon is automatically zaychen al peros that the Eved brings in. Also, from Metzia would be a counterexample. Stavka Boshes and Tsar he gets. Why? So maybe there's some shaychus of Boshes and Tsar to the Eved, like he has the ability to make him work, even though it's going to cause him Tsar and Boshes to some degree. You can't do avodas parach to your Eved Ifri, but chves, you can make him work in a coal mine. That's a lot of Tsar. You can't torture him, but lots of work involves Tsar. So maybe as a he is Zolcha Ke'ilu in the Tsar. But he certainly lacks the ability to chop off his ear. So Mela, if he chops off his ear, then there's no Shaychus to the Eved. We'll see if that works. That would explain Metzia, right, as well. In other words, it's Dafka, Ripoy, Boshes and Tsar, which the Kinyan that you have in your Eved, you have some Shaychus to, as opposed to either the tip of his ear or the Aveda. Well, what about Refuah? So, Refuah seems like a very strange idea. So the Magid Mishnah says, it's Lav Dafka. When he says Chamisha Dvarim, he didn't really mean Chamisha Dvarim. It's a little fair. Rambam did say Chamisha Dvarim. So you could give a very simple answer, Deloka Magid Mishnah, which is that no. And this already relates to what Yoni was mentioning, which is that we're talking about a case where you are marviach in the umdana. Remember before we talked about how there's two ways of assessing refuah according to the Rambam. There's the ikra din, which is the refuah, but latakana samazik, you can also do an umdana. Sometimes when you do umdana, the mazik wins, and it's in reality it ends up costing more than the assessment, and sometimes the nizak wins. The assessment ends up being more than the actual costs, the medical costs. So we're talking about a case where the medical costs were assessed higher than they ended up turning out to be. So now the question is, who keeps the difference? And that's what the Rambam writes. Okay, with the difference, there was an extra $3,000 of medical payments that were not associated with costs in the end. So what do you do with that $3,000? So Rambam says, yeah. What happens is that Ilakach ben Karka and the Adon is Ochel Peros, throughout the duration of the Avdus. And not only that, because Chamisha Dvarim, in other words, there is Ripoy that goes to the Eved, where the Peros goes to the Adon, and right, Ripoy is the Dmei Refuah, about which we have this halacha, that the Adon gets Peros and the Eved gets Guf. That's true for all five things. Sometimes there won't be any extra in refuah, so it won't come out to be anything.
Hypothetically, you can get all five. Right. You can never get the refuah.
Right. In other words, sometimes you won't get some of the other ones also. Right. Sometimes it won't be tsar, because it's not embarrassing. Right. It's not painful. Or there won't be boshes. But the point is, shayach to have all chamisha dvarim. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And it's not, you know, the Gemara in Gittin more or less says this. It's not just an okimta that I made up for the Rambam, because the Gemara over there says, Amar of Yochanan, Akotel Yad Avdo Shel Chaveh, no saying, Shivto Urefuaso Lerabo. So the Gemara says, Shivto Pshita, which sounds like Abaye, though we'll get back to that. Refuasa it's Tarichalai. Refuasa Amai Larabo, Didehi, Debay Litsuye. Why are you giving the refuah to the Rav? Lo Tsricha, Damdula Chamisha Yome, Vavdule Samar Harifa, Vitsi Betlasa Yome, De Shakil Rabbe, Hai Tufaina. Right? So he gets the Tufaina, the extra. Good. Now, where did the Rambam get this idea of Chamisha Dvarim? So the answer is he got it from the Yerushalmi, which is also quoted by the Rif. Now, the Rif quotes our Gemara, and then he quotes the Yerushalmi, and it would appear that the Rif understood that the Bavli and Yerushalmi don't disagree with each other, which is why he quotes the Yerushalmi, seemingly lahalacha. And the Yerushalmi writes, more or less, quotes Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that Hakoteya Yad Avdo Shel Chaveiro Notel Chamisha Dvarim V'halo Misparneis Menatztaka, meaning to say the Adon gets Chamisha Dvarim and the Aved is Misparneis Menatztaka. And then the Gemara says, you know, how could Rabbi Yochanan say such a thing? Rabbi Yochanan was so nice to his Avadim. What does he mean Misparneis Menatztaka? And the Yerushalmi answers that he didn't have to do that. Rabbi Yochanan was a very fine person. He was a nice guy. Of course, it's not a very nice thing to do, but Mikra Adin, that's the halacha. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. Now, it's not clear what the Yerushalmi means. Sounds a little bit Yerushalmi, like the Rav gets all Chamisha Dvarim in its entirety. But the way the Rif understood it is not as a stira to Rava, but a perish of Rava. Meaning to say, Rava said that by Chamisha Dvarim, so the Adon is Ochel Pero. So that's what it means. In other words, the five Chamisha Dvarim, all those Chamisha Dvarim, Harav Ochel Peros, and the Eved would get the Guf, right, by Karka. Now, what does that mean practically speaking? What that means practically speaking is that if the Adon is getting all the Peros from this Karka that you bought, so the who's going to actually, like, the Eved won't have any income. Right, he's gonna starve because he's not gonna be able to work. Because even let's say the sheves, right, which is supposed to compensate lost work, we're not giving to the Eved. What are we doing? We're taking the sheves. We're buying karka. We're giving the payros to the adon and the guf to the Eved. But he's not gonna do anything, so he's gonna starve. So yeah, that's what Shami says. Okay, so then we'll have to go begging. B'nai Yisrael are Mefarnes Avadim that are injured. Kol Yisrael very generous.
Why doesn't the other need to be Mefarnes?
Oh, she's saying Imcha B'machal, Imcha B'nishta. So that doesn't apply in this case, let's say, when he's not bringing anything in. Well, maybe we'll return to that question. So but B'kitzer, the main point is that that the Eved is the Yerushalmi just says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Adon gets all Chamisha Dvarim. So that's why the Rambam paskins the Adon gets all Chamisha Dvarim. But what does it mean the Adon gets all Chamisha Dvarim? Does it mean 100% of all Chamisha Dvarim? Of course not. It means what Rava says, which is that the Adon gets the Peros from all Chamisha Dvarim and the Eved gets the Gof. Oh, so that's the way that the Rif, the Rambam, seem to have understood the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi and the Bavli don't disagree with each other. Rav Yochanan is consistent with Rava. Now, Rabbeinu Ephraim, who was a student of the Rif, it's quoted in the Shidam Chubatzes, makes this point that the Rif understood that was passing like the Yerushalmi. But he said that the Rif made a mistake because the Gemara in Gittin says that, like we read before, that the Rav only gets the Mosar, right? In other words, for the Refuah, not the actual Refuah. You see, Agav, that the way the Rabbeinu Ephraim understood the Yerushalmi was, and also the Rif for that matter, that the Adon gets the entire Refuah, right? Not just the Tufaini, right? That's why Rabbeinu Ephraim thought the Bavli and Yerushalmi disagree, and the Rif was against the Bavli. He would get 100% of the Refuah. Now, why would you get 100% of the Refuah? That takes for granted that what is Refuah? Is it Ripoy or Demei Ripoy?
Yeah.
No. Oh, yes, exactly. It's Demei Ripoy. And therefore, exactly correct. So it's Demei Ripoy. If the Adon has that tzchus, he gets it. And what about the Aved? Okay, he'll have to go begging for money to get healed, right? He'll have to go begging for money. That's the way. But the way, L'chora, what's the answer? The answer for the Rif and the Rambam, and this point is made explicitly by the Rush, is that the Rambam and the Rif both understood that when Yerushalmi says that the Adam gets Ripoy, it means Tufani. It means exactly what the Bavli said. Right? So again, Bekitzer, how to understand Yerushalmi. So according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Bavli and Yerushalmi disagree. According to the Yerushalmi, Ripoy is Demei Ripoy, and that goes entirely to the Adon, and the Bavli's against Yerushalmi. The Gemara Gittin's against Yerushalmi, and we, of course, would pass like the Bavli against Yerushalmi. The Rif was making a mistake. Whereas according to the Rosh, the Rambam and the Rif both understood that there's no machlokas between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. When Yerushalmi said that the Rifur goes to the Rav, it's talking about the same case as the Bavli, namely Tufaina. And about that, the Rambam says, so we're going to pass on like Rav, huh? So the Rav is Ocho Peros, and the Eved would be get the Guf. Yes?
Because the Bavli never mentions Rifur.
Mm-hmm.
So we say the Bavli is arguing or disagreeing with the Yerushalmi.
Well, he meant, the Rabbeinu Ephraim said, the Gemara Gittin.
Gemara Gittin, but this Gemara over here, this Gemara leaves out with says against Shevis.
Right.
So, the Rambam was based himself not really an argument of Mardo.
Well,
based on the Yerushalmi, which also happens to coincide with Argo.
Correct.
In other words, you're going to Makar isn't from Argo Mardo. Makar is Yerushalmi, which happens
right.
to work with Argo Mardo.
Correct. Now, you're going to Paskin like Yerushalmi's if the Yerushalmi is consistent with the Bavli. Argamara discussed, right? So that's exactly what the impression you get from the Rif. In other words, the Bavli, he quotes the Bavli, and then, you know, the Bavli's incomplete. It tells you what to do about Nezek and
right.
and Shevis, what about the other three? And that's why he quotes Yerushalmi, that fills in the details. Bavli's mashlam Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi's mashlam the Bavli. The Bavli's also mashlam the Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi doesn't make the point of what you do with it, doesn't make this distinction that the Rav is Ocho Peros, and that's what the Bavli does. And that's how they work together. That's again, the Mahalich that the Rif / Rambam seems to have been taken. Agav, you see... Yeah. Otherwise, it's not a Raya.
Right,
it's not a Makor. You see that from the Rif. Yeah, we'll get there. He's disagreeing with the Rif. He's disagreeing with the Rif and the Rambam. Yeah. So, and Agav, if you look at that Rabbeinu Ephraim, you also see Derech Agav that he assumes that the Mazik pays Tsar Liola. Right, that was like the opinion of the Rash. Not just the Tsar of the actual Maisa Hakah. And he says it's because it's Domet to Nezek, because it's Keneged the Hefzid B'mais Yadayim, that's L'chol Yimei Chayav. Okay. Now, this is what you were saying before. Rabbeinu Yohanan's son, and then the Eri in the Shittim Kubetzes, and other Rishonim say, no, the Yerushalmi has no relevance to our discussion. Our discussion is talking about Eved Ivri, right? And about Eved Ivri, of course, the Boshas and the Ripoy and the Tsar will go to the Eved, because like we said, all you have in your Eved Ivri is what? Is the rights to work. And Eved Ivri is more or less in a type of employee. Okay, maybe there's a Shtickel Kinyan Isser also, but basically it's your employee. Mashein Kain, and Eved Kanani is true ownership. So if it's true ownership, it's a Kinyan Aguf. So then the Adon will talk about Yizaycha and the Tsar and the Boshas and the Ripoy. And that's the way. That's the pshat, right? That's the way they understood the Yerushalmi. There's no machlokas Yerushalmi and Bavli, but for a different reason, right? Not the way that Rambam understands it, that they're all talking about an Eved Ivri. They're both talking about an Eved Ivri, but but rather they're talking about two different situations. And then they deal with, well, why is there boshes? Because we assume, generally speaking, there's no boshes to a guy. We'll return to that question. They said, yeah, but an Eved Kenani, because he's miktas geiros, is zocha in boshes, or is shaykh to boshes, but memela, the adon will get it. Right? And it's clear now, you know, we asked before, right, for the Rambam, it's difficult to understand why you're not Kona the Mitzia of your Eved Ivri, but you're Kona his Boshes and Tzars. And the answer is, well, once you learn that Yerushalmi is talking about an Eved Kenani, it's not a Shaila. Because you are Kona the Mitzia of the Eved Kenani. You're Kona everything from the Eved Kenani. It's a Kenin HaGof. So, right, that's what the Gemara in Gittin says. The Gemara in Gittin says, Mitzios of an Eved Kenani go to the Adon, the Mitzios of an Eved Ivri go to himself, with an exception. Rav Papa says the exception is the scharo lelakit mitzios. So if you hired him to get mitzios, so then the adam gets the mitzia of the eved, because that was his work, to find mitzios. But if you hired him to do something else, to plow your field, and while he's plowing your field, he passes by a mitzia, he gets to pocket it and keep it, right? Good. Now, so let's go back and try to understand the Rambam a little better, right? And that also explains, by the way, Yoni's other question, you know, why isn't this Parnas Min Hatzdaka? Because it's only by an Ivri, Eved Ivri, that we say, M'chol B'machol V'nishta. Now, so let's try to go back to the Rambam and try to understand what we said before, which is, why is it that he's Zolcha, the Adon is Zocha and the Boshes and the Tsar. So maybe you'll say, like we said before, either it's going to, he can make you work, or maybe it will affect his work because he's in pain. You know, you don't work as well when you're in a lot of pain. So therefore, he should also have a zuchus and a bosh or something like that. But how do you explain refuah? In other words, why, if there's extra refuah, right? Why in the world would the adon be zocha in it, right? And why is that different from a mitzia? In other words, you know, I would have guessed that extra, what's like extra refuah? It's like a windfall, it's a boon, right? The insurance evaluator assessed your medical costs at $10,000, and then lo and behold, it came in under budget. Every so often, I guess they must have it. Came in under budget, and so, okay, this is like a windfall, right? What a mitzia. Right? What's this chus? Right? Tsar and boshes. Again, I could sort of hear. Okay? The adon, you're going to have tsar when he works you, or you, because of your tsar, you're going to get less work done, or whatever it is. Maishna mitzia, maishna refuah. So I think you have to say that there's actually a very fundamental point that's going on in a Rambam. And this really is a much better answer to explain why he gets taka, tsar, and boshes. Which is, this gets back to the very nature of the kinyan that an adon has in the Eved Ivri. Remember, Rava says in Kiddushin, Tezayin Amud Aleph, Eved Ivri gufo kanoi, v'arav shemachal gerono en gerono machal. What does that mean? That we know that if I buy an Eved Ivri and I say, okay, I'm Michael Zayin, that does not end the avdas. Right? Harav shemachal gerono, meaning to say the whatever's left in his contract, that doesn't work. Why? Why not? You need to do a ma'isa shechur. And the Gemara says, Rava says, that's because Eved Ivri gufo kanui. There's some type of kinyan haguf. Because there's a kinyan haguf, mechila doesn't work. Mechila never works for something I own, right? It works for a shibud, it works for a debt. If you owe me money, so I can be mochel you. But if I own this Gemara, I can't be mochel it. I can be mafkir it if I want, and then if you want to be konet. So because it's a kenina guf, memela mechila doesn't work. That's what Rava says. The question is, what exactly does that mean, that there's a kenina guf? Because at the same time, we also know that it's not like an Eved Kanani, where we really do treat the Eved as property. So the way a number of Rishonim understand it, the Meiri, the Shita, Lo Noda Lamiyim Kiddushin, the Ritva and Gittin Lama Dinama Beis, they understand that according to Rava, there is, it's not just a zechus in his work, right, or an obligation for the Eved to work for the Adon based off of the payment, but his guf is kanui l'peirosav, right? The kinyan is in the Eved mamish. Not just in his, it's not just like an employee. It's only a kinyan l'maisi yadav, it's only a kinyan l'peiros, but it's a kinyan haguf l'peirosav. Right, as opposed to, let's say, an employee. An employee, I don't have a kinyan haguf l'peirosav. We have an agreement. I'm going to pay you this much money, and you're going to work for me for this long and do this and this job. So, again, you could have imagined an eved ivri is the same thing. Okay, it's a little different. You pay up front, there are certain zechuyos, perhaps, that a regular poel has that an eved ivri doesn't have. But fundamentally, that's what it is. And that's what Rav is saying. Well, if that's all it was, so then you're right. Then mechila should work. Just like if I pay you to work for me today, and halfway through the day, I say, I'm going to hold the rest, so you can go home. Shame. But that's not the pshat. It's a kinyan begufo l'peirosav. As opposed to, let's say, just agav, the Ramban, who says, no, that's not true. There's no kinyan mamani in the Eved at all. The pshat in the Gemara over there is gufo kanoi, is it's a kinyan iser, right? That's what's matir the eved b'shifcha, and that's what's mechayev a shtar shechler, because a kinyan iser is not mufka b'kedi, just like the kinyan iser in kiddushin. That's how that relates to the Ramban sheet and what kiddushin is, what the kinyan of kiddushin is, and now's not the time to get into all that. Anyway, the point though is perhaps the Rambam understand more like. And you could even add, though this you don't need this, because this could be true according to both opinions, but Tyler told me from Rav Tursky, a number of diukim, that it's not even a kinyan lezman, but it's a kinyan li'olam that is, and the Torah says it goes out at sheish. In other words, it's an external din. It's not a limitation in the kinyan. You see that very powerfully from the number of diukim, but from the lashon of the Mishnah, kona atzmo b'shanim. Meaning, say, like, buys himself back with Shana. So, again, that sort of adds to the point that I'm saying. And there are a number of Dukim he had, of course, he had for the Rambam for this. But the point is that if you learn, like, that first view, and especially if you add this point, so since there's a Kenyan, Begufo Leperos of the Eved, so. Memela, you're going to be zocha in all the peros that come from his guf. So, you're not zocha in peros that are not shaykh to the guf, like a mitzia, that has no shaykhus to the guf. That's me'alma. So there's no reason why the adon should get it. Unless he decided to work him in the field of mitzia hunting. But fundamentally, that's not. But Tsar and Sheves and even Ripoy are all, not Sheves, Boshes and even Ripoy are all coming from his guf. So since you have a Kinyan Peros Begufo, so Memela, you should be Zocha in the Peros from the Tsar, the Boshes, and the Ripoy. So maybe that would explain the Shita Sarabam over here. And the reason why, again, perhaps, just to say, you don't, just because you say this doesn't mean you have to go as far as the Rambam goes, right? The Meiri, for example, splits it. The Meiri does take the more expansive view that there is a kinyan, but still thinks you should be Zolchan Sar and Boshes. But once you understand that there's a kinyan begufa evet leperosav, so then you can understand that that would be true for all peros that come from the guf, as long as it's coming from the guf. Okay, good.
So,
yeah.
So how is a bai learning kinyan?
So now yesh ladun. In other words, there are a number of ways, and this is somewhat speculative because the Rambam doesn't tell you what the svar of a bai is. But I think what you're being merames to is now a new way to possibly understand the machlokas rav and abaye is about the nature of the kinyan that an adon has in the eved. So that's a direction you could go in. Okay. There are some other interesting rishonim over here who also bring in the connection of to the previous machlokas rav and abaye, but I think we'll go on. So the Gemara continues. Boches hakol l'fiyam v'vayesh v'am izbayesh. Mani mas nisen lo reb Meir v'lo reb Yehuda el reb Shimon hi ditznan v'kulan ro'en nosan kilu heim b'nei choyrin she'yardu m'nechzeihem. So there's a brisa that has three tanaim over here as to how we're going to figure out boches. So the first view is the viewer Meir, that kulan, meaning ben aniyim, ben ashirim, ronu san kilu b'nei chayrin shiyadu b'nechzayim, we're look at them as though they're wealthy people that lost all of their property, lost all their assets. Shem b'nei avim yitzchak v'yakov, viewer Meir. Just read it, the other opinions, and then we'll try to explain each of the three opinions. For Yehuda Omer, agadol fi gadol v'akad l'fi katno. So no, we look at him wherever he is. And Reb Shimon Omer, Ashirin Rono San Kiluhem B'nei Choron Shiyadim Nechzehen, like Reb Meir said, but Aniyim Kipchusim Shabahen, we look at them as the lowest level of Aniyim. So let's try to understand each of these three views. What's the logic between each one, behind each one? So in order to start with Reb Meir. So again, Reb Meir says, "Kulan Rono San Kiluim B'nei Chayin Shirim Nechsein Shem B'nei Avram Yitzchak B'Yankiv." So if you look at Rashi, Rashi sounds like there's basically two chidushim in Reb Meir, and they're two separate chidushim. One is a chumra to the mazik, and one is a kula to the mazik. The chumra to the mazik is that we look at aniyim as though they are B'nei Avram Yitzchak B'Yankiv, right? Which L'chayra means because it's Ke'en, what we say in other places in Shas, that B'nai Yisrael are B'nai Malachim, Kulam B'nai Malachim Heim. So one application of that is Hilchos Muksa. No, it's not even the Gemara over there says that there are applications of this principle in different Tchumen of Halacha that aren't fundamentally connected, but they reflect a certain attitude. So basically what he's saying is, yeah, this Ani, you might think he's an Ivuzer. To you he looks like, but no, he's Ben Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. It's royalty, dignity. And then, that's the Chumra to the Mazik. So we assess even the poor person as a Ani Shiyarad an Asher Shiyarad Menachasav, or Ben Chor Shiyarad Menachasav. So right now Lamaisi is poor. But who is he? Right? So there's much more kavod, or if you wish, busha. We'll talk about this a little later, that busha and kavod are related. There's much more busha to a person who was once rich, who is Yared Menachasav, than to the person that was always poor. So how do we look at a Klal Yisrael who happens to be poor, like in Asher Yared Menachasav, just like in Hovot Tzedaka, right? Then kifi mashiach sarlo, that in theory, you're supposed, if you can afford it, right, you have a ani who was once ashir and is used to having an eved ratz lefanav, so you have to give him because he feels chaser without it. Good.
What's also a ben chor shiur in chaser? Shouldn't be. What's a ben chor?
It's interesting, right? It should say ashir shiur in chaser.
Kind of poor bnei chor also.
Yeah, I mean, L'chor, we're not talking about an Eved, right?
So I mean, why is it?
So a Ben Chorin, I think, reflects the high level of a person. And maybe it's not an usher, Shiard L'chasav, it's a little less. In other words, it's not going to be the dignity of you know, like I gave the example before, an usher that lost his property, that he needs an Eved Ratz L'fanav. But as a Ben Chorin, meaning to say, even if he's not technically an Eved, but everybody is aristocracy. It's just they're poor aristocracy.
I think Rebbe said landowner.
What?
I think Rebbe said Rebbe said landowner.
I said what?
Landowner.
Me. Right. Okay. Now, that's the Chumrah L'Mazik, right? That's we're going to bump up the Aniyim. But then there's also the Kulat L'Mazik, right? That the Ashirim are also, even though they actually have lots of money, so why is that? So Rashi says, because Ein L'dmei Boshto Sof, right? Which is as far as we saw earlier by Tsar, which is, sounds like, you know, actually in theory, maybe you should pay the Ashir, whatever Tsar, whatever Boshes he experienced. But that would be incalculable. So just like by Tsar, for example, the Gemara sounds like, even if in theory you should pay kama adam rotze litain, sorry, lito, but we're forced to do litain because it would be too much otherwise. So to over here, in other words, that's the way Rashi explains it. In other words, there's two separate svaros, right? Remeir says two chidushim, and the two chidushim betzim aren't really related to each other. The reason why the ani, we bump him up to the ben chorin shiastri yard menachasav, is because he's ben Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. And the reason why Ashir, Sheish Lo Nechasim, that we bump him down to Kilu Ein Lo Nechasav, Yard Min Nechasav, is because otherwise it would be incalculable. However, Tosfos seems to give a different svara. And it sounds like there's actually one motivating principle behind both halachos, which is Yev Sheladaktek, meaning to say that there are aniyim that might have a lot of boshes. There might be ashirim who don't have very much boshes at all. And therefore, we are mashve everything. Now, it's interesting, because you could have said, well, once that's true, so we should say, emotzi mechavir v'levraya, right? And you should get the lowest possible one. That's usually what we would say. You prove, if it's possible you had $100 of boshes or $200 of boshes, the mazik could say to the nizak, if you prove that you had $200 and I'll pay you. So it could be that Tosfos with Bedas Remeir, it'd say it's like a takana. The Rambam will see, in the Perek Gimel Lachachas, talking about a different case a little bit, but he calls these knasos, in the cases where we're going to see later on in the Mishnayos, that there are a number of cases, especially cases where they're primarily boshes, where chachamim were misake in a specific amount. You slap the guy in the face or the like, and it's not the pshat. The Rambam says that everybody experiences the exact same amount of boshes. These are takanos. So the mayor might have said, this. That's what Tosfos invokes. The mayor said the same thing across the board. Not exactly the same, because it's not a fixed amount, but just like over there, Tosfos says, we don't take into account who was around and who wasn't around. We have a fixed amount. So too over here, that's as far as the mayor. We take a standard amount of ben yichorin shiatim and lechasav, and that's what we pay to everybody. Now, if you look at the Ravid is a very interesting diyuk on this. He says, Kulan ro'en osan ki'ilu ein b'nei chorin shiyardu minechseihim. So, what's this going on? Is this going just on the mizbayesh, or also the mivayesh? What does that mean? Because remember, the Mishnah said, The Mishnah isn't a Meir Shita, right? But the Mishnah told us that there are actually two factors that go into determining Boshes. What is that? The Mishnah says, Boshes ha-kolofi ha-mivayesh ha-mizbayesh. Rashi explained, the Mizbayesh, obviously, some, let's say, generally speaking, wealthier people are going to have more busha, but also the Mivayesh. Rashi explained, if a chashev person was Mivayesh, it's less embarrassing than if a pauper was Mivayesh. So when Remeir said this, was he going in only, clearly he's going in the Mizbayesh, but was he also going in the Mivayesh? So the Ravid is Medayk from the Lashon of Kulan Ronos Akilu Heimene Yachar and Sharon Drun Chasav. It's going on both. Now, if that's true, so that I think works much better with the Svara of Tosfos as opposed to the Svara of Rashi. Right? According to Tosfos, the motivation of Remeir is due to the complexity and uncertainty of evaluating Boshes, we were mashvim hakol, which is as far as that could apply both with respect to the mivayesh and the mizbayesh. It's more difficult if you learn like Rashi, because if you learn like Rashi, so if the svara is ein sof, so maybe that's as far for the mizbayesh. Is it really going to be true for the mivayesh? Sorry, what were you saying?
Meaning, wouldn't it, according to Tosis, would it have to be referring to both?
I mean, it's certainly what you'd expect.
Meaning, you're not going to have a set amount unless you also standardize how much Bush.
We didn't standardize everything, even according to Tosfos. For example, over here, as opposed to, let's say, later on when we actually fixed a specific amount, even according to Remeir, we're going to look at various factors. We've just partially fixed it. Right? We're not... Well, even here, we're going to consider exactly what I did and even take into account who was around, perhaps, and other factors, as opposed to later on, where we make it a totally fixed rate. But at least we partially equalize, and certainly I think, I don't know if you have to, but it's what you'd expect that we would do that for both.
I mean, like, how would you say, oh, by the Mizbayesh... You can't be medayik, but you can be medayik by other things. Like,
what do you mean, can't be medayik?
Meaning, Tosa says, like, the ein yichol medaktek aleihem kol kach.
Tosa is telling him mitzias. I don't know mitzias. I read. So if that's right, then probably it's right. In other words, clearly ein yichol medaktek is not that clear cut, because we do have two other tanaim, right? But definitely think what you're saying is very reasonable, maybe even certain, which is that the same, there's no reason to be chalik. Now, from the Hemshach of the Gemara Tzmevuah, that even according to Meir, we're mechalik between, let's say, Gadol and Kata. In other words, or between Eved and Ben Chorin. So we're only mashveh in the category, within the category, in other words, within Ben Chorin or within Gadolim. And l'chor, according to Tosis, makes a lot of sense, because b'chi agav, and it's after l'daktik. It's not after l'daktik between upper middle class and middle class and lower middle class in terms of how much boshes, but that you could be medaktik. Whereas, according to Rashi, it's a little schwer, because, you know, you could take Tanim, or also b'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But I don't think it's really a kasha, because the pshat and Remeir is that we can't call a ben chorin an adam mevuzah. That's his point, because Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, that's the lesson of the Rambam, it's adam mevuzah. But we can't call him an adam mevuzah because he's ben Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. But even within Bnei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, there's still going to be differences between Gdol and Ketanim. There's more of a bezayon to the king than to the prince. So, okay, to Ketanim are princes. And the like. Okay. Fine. So that's the Shita of Remeir. So we have a couple of options how to understand Remeir. Then we have Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda is certainly the easiest opinion to understand, which is we just look, Gadol fi Gadol, Katan fi Katano. That's l'chor, the Pashup Shad in the Mishnah. Of course, the Gemara is going to argue that it's not the author of our Mishnah. But certainly the simple understanding of Hakol if you have advice from Mispayish. And then we have Rabbi Shimon's view. So Rabbi Shimon says, Ashir and Ronos Ankilim Nechon Shiavim B'chaseim, and Aniyamar Kepchusin Shabahan. So what's the reason for that? So the simple understanding of Rabbi Shimon is Hamotzmi Chavel of Araya. In other words, we knock everybody down to the lowest level that it could be. Why? Because Hamotz Mechavero, you prove that you had more boshes than the lowest of your class. And if not, I only have to pay that amount. Now, it's a little dochak from the Lashon of the Braisa that sounds like we're mashvim all people. In other words, let's say like this. If you learn like the Ravid, right, that we're talking about the Mizvayesh and the Mizvayesh, and you learn that it's Hamotzi Mechaver all of Araya is the motivation, so then what would actually mean is that for the Mazik, or I'll say for the Nizak, we bump him down to the lowest level, and for the Mazik, we're actually going to bump him up to the highest level, right? Because the more wealthy you are, the less busha you cause. But the lashon of Rabbi Shimon doesn't sound that way.
But meaning, why can't the writer just be named Rabbi Meir?
So that's the answer. I think you're correct. You could give two answers. You could either say that the Ravid is only going to Rabbi Meir, but according to Rabbi Shimon, it wouldn't be true. And it's only... Or you could actually say something a little different, which is you could learn like Rashi elsewhere. Rashi Ksubos says the opposite of our Mishnah, that there is more busha when a gadol embarrasses you. That's like if a meshugana,
right, sounds like that,
if a meshugana embarrasses me, right? Like I don't know, the guy I'm on the subway and some crazy person starts, you know, cursing me out because they didn't give them money for their little dance or something, whatever it is. So right, it's not so embarrassing because if a mezvuza embarrasses you, a chashuv person embarrasses you, that's really embarrassing. So then you could say that it's going both on the mivayation and misvayation. The point is that we always look at them in the lowest possible rank. So that's two possibilities. Now the truth is that if you look at the Ravid, though, himself, he doesn't say that reason for Rabbi Shimon. He gives a different reason for Rabbi Shimon. It's not because of straight Hamos V'Chavir Uriah, like I was saying, but it's because Ashir Ein Damim Levoshto. And L'chor, that's only a Svara in the Misvayesh, not the Mivayesh. So that's why I think, this is, I think, maybe what Yoni just meant, that even if, according to Rabbi Meir, we're going to be Mashva the Mivayesh or the Misvayesh, because his reason was Eif Sholadakdek. But within Rabbi Shimon, we're only going to be mashva the misbayesh because ein damim lebusha shel gadol, but not necessarily the mivayesh. It could be, he would agree that for the mivayesh, hakol lefi gadol, a gadol lefi gadol, a kadol lefi katno.
What does it mean exactly, ein damim lebusha?
It means that it's $1 trillion, right? No usher would take even a huge amount of money to be embarrassed.
Is that how Rashi learns?
Yeah, what the Svara that Rashi
but
said
in
Remeir, Ravid uses to explain Rav Shimon.
Doesn't it make sense? I mean, and what would Ravid say about Remeir?
He says like Tosfos. We speculate he would learn like Tosfos.
That's strange that you get the same words in the Gemara for Remeir and Shimon mean different thing if they're Svaras.
Yeah, I think there's two reasons to come to the same conclusion. Anyway, especially because, again, Rav Shimon is saying it differently. It's Ashirin, where Rohan Osan Ki'ilu, Haim, B'nei Chon Shiardim Nechseyim, and Aniyim are Kepchusin Shabbat. As opposed to a mayor who says everybody is Rohan Osan Ki'ilu, Haim, B'nei Chon Shiardim Nechseyim. So, Adarabba, it's much more Pashat than for Rashi, because Rashi, remember, had to say two Svaros to explain Rav Meir. One Svara why we bump up the Aniyim, and one Svara why we bump down the Ashirim. Right? Whereas the Ravid could say one svara to explain, Reb Meir. Anyway, now the difficulty is then, why are we mashva aniyim? Right? In other words, if the whole svara for Rebbe Shimon is because there's no damim, there's no kates to the busha of an ashir, so fine. So that's why we'll say ashirim are all ke nechor and shiardu v'nechseim. But why in the world would we say aniyim are ke plusin shimon? There, if you said the svara behind Rebbe Shimon is the most mechamil avaya, then that explains it. But if you say this is the reason, so then it's very difficult to understand why that would be. So if you look at the Shita Mekubetzis in the name of the Gaon, he says, no, just like we're mashva the Gdolim, no, so too we're mashva Ketanim. I don't know why. There has to be a consistency here. In other words, the motivation was for Gdolim to knock him down because Ein Danim Lenechseihem, Lelebusha Shalahem, and then Mimela, for purposes of consistency. I don't know why exactly that would be, but that's going to be the difficulty of the svara of the Ravid Bedas Reb Shimon. Now that's the three opinions in Tanayim, and more of the technical points. But I'd like to think about it a little more broadly for a moment. So how are you within whichever view of Tanayim? How are you actually mashva the Boshes? Right? So I would have guessed the same thing we do for Tsar. Now it was interesting that the Gemara told you what to do with Tsar. There was a whole deal in the Gemara. There's no deal in the Gemara. How you practically do that for Boshes, right? There's a deal in the Gemara, you know, whose value, a rich person, a poor person, a middle class person, but how do you do it? But since the Gemara didn't say, intuitively I would have assumed we do the same thing. So how much would a person of whichever class you're assessing, who is muchtav l'malchus to get the busha, how much would he pay not to get the busha? That's probably what I would have said. But at the same time, the fact that the Gemara doesn't explain that, maybe that indicates that's not how we do it. Because if that was, the Gemara should say. Rashi, though, does seem to say that's exactly what we do. If you take a look at Rashi, Dibor Maschil Shaiminan, he writes, Bekama Yisratze Eved Zeh, Yasu Lobosha Zeh, Ve'osa Shumo Yitim Levan Chorin Zeh. So, basically, we're trying to do a similar type of assessment as we do for Sar. Now, the Rambam is a little more interesting because the Rambam doesn't tell you. He doesn't tell you how you are Mishaer. If you look at the Rambam, all of Perek Gimel is about Busha, Boshas. So we have Ketan Misharin HaBoshas HaKol Lefi HaMavayish HaMizvayish, but didn't tell you how you do it as he did for Tsar. Now, maybe he tells you a little bit of a clue in Halacha Yud Aleph. Now, Lachid Alf is talking about a different situation. The end of the parak talks about the cases that we mentioned before, the fixed payments of boshes. So that there's a whole list of fixed boshes payments. So boet b'chaveru b'raglo is chamisha slayim, mikor bar kavuso is shlosha slayim, etc., etc. And then the Rambam says that's only with a mechubad. Aval adam shumivuza veino makbid b'chol elu advarim kiyotzi b'han eino notel alafima shirawi lo. He only gets kafima shirawi lo ukimo shiiru hadayanim shirawi lito. So at least in this case, it sounds like the dayanim are not necessarily doing what we did for Tsar. How much would a person pay or be paid to experience this type of boshes? But a assessment of the dayan. Now, Yeshlachkor, Would that also be true at the beginning of the parak when he said Ketzin Misharin Akol Lefi Amivayshan Misvayshan? That's only in this case where it's a fixed payment with a mevusa. We're going to have to get back to that question. But perhaps it relates to the fact that Boshes is a very strange concept. And one of the things we're going to think about a little bit today and more tomorrow is the nature of the Chiyuv Boshes. Is it similar to other forms of Nezek? Is it a new din? Right? What's the pshat that I took from you, right? Did I really take anything from you? So that's something that we're going to think about, and that might relate to the fact that perhaps we'll see, it's impossible to assess, even on a, you know, an imaginary market level that we did for Tsar. Yeah.
If we're categorizing people to certain, mm-hmm. so then even Rashi would have to agree that Beis Din is doing it, because if the person is doing it,
of course, but we do that. Beis Din does it for Tsar also. In other words, I don't think there's a Tsar marketplace like, you know, maybe for figuring out Nezek, like we saw in that story of the Katan, we could do that. But it's hard to imagine that there's like a marketplace for, okay, how much, you know, who wants to punch somebody in the stomach? And there's an auction, and it goes to the highest bidder, and, right? So Beis Din is going ahead and probably figuring this out more in, you know, to the best of their ability. There's not an actual marketplace for all these different types of tsar, for, you know, Adam Muchtav Lamalchus. It's totally imaginary. We imagine if somebody was Muchtav Lamalchus to get their nail burnt by a nail, that's, you know, how much would you pay or be paid not to do it? So it's a little bit imaginary. But the difference is that we don't just say over there, Kefima Shayiru Hadayanim Shiratwe Lito. Rather, we try to figure out to the best of ability. How much, practically speaking, would a person spend not to experience this pain? Right? Masha Ein Kein, by Boshes, if we assume what the Rambam says at the end of the parak relates to the beginning of the parak, now maybe that's not a good assumption, but if we do, so it's different. It doesn't say, Kefi Sheyiru Hadayanim Kama Adam Muchan Lashalem Avur Boshes Kazu. Rather, it says, Eino no tel el lefi masha roi lo, kimo shiro dayanim shi roi lito. Right? What is an appropriate payment for this type of busha, of boshas, of action? That's different than saying, let's try to figure out how much he would pay.
Why wouldn't those two be the same thing? I mean, why wouldn't it be roi lito? What he, you know, like.
So either, we could go two directions. Either because it's impossible to do the other one, or because the nature of Boshes is fundamentally different. That's what we need to figure out. Is it a practical issue or a conceptual issue? So that
I mean, this entire time, like, it wasn't like we were ever asking the Nizaf, like, how much he would.
We wouldn't trust the Nizaf. Right. $1 trillion!
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, the big nidah in this sugya is, who do we paskin like? So l'chora we should paskin, because we have to read the Gemara, right? So the Gemara says like this. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Mani, I remeyer mas nisen, taniya kol fi anavashin esbayish, remeyer kulu adi adadim. Surely it's not remeyer. Remeyer says hadi adadai. Our Mishnah says, "Lefi amivayish am esbayish." The Reb Yehuda, "Mas nisin ketani amivayish es asuma chayev." The Ilu Reb Yehuda Amar, "Suma in lo boshes." So, in theory, the Reish of our Mishnah certainly does sound like Reb Yehuda. But the problem is that the Seif of our Mishnah can't be Reb Yehuda for a technical reason, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Suma in Lo Boshes, and the author of our Mishnah holds that Hamavayish is a Suma Schayev. Now, love Rabbi Shimon. Now, even though Rabbi Shimon says Ashir and Ronos Okilim B'nei Chorin, Shirin Rosayan, Anim Kenchusin Shabahan, but still, fundamentally, it relates to the Mavayish and Mavayish, so therefore it could be Rabbi Shimon. No, I feel to Rabbi Yehuda. Kiyam Rabbi Yehuda Suma Elo Boshes L'Mishkominei Aval L'Misvalei Yavinan Lei. No, Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that that if you are mevayesh a suma, you're potter. He just says that your suma should be yish potter. Mamad ktani seif amvayesh yashen chayev. Yash should be yish potter. The lo ktani suma should be yish potter. Mechlal the lo shnahachi. The lo shnahachi. No, clearly our Mishnah says that when you're mevayesh a suma, and assume is mevayish, you're chayev. Because it's only by yashin where you have that distinction, where mevayish is a yashin, is chayev, but yashin shabish is pater. So the conclusion of Gemara is that the author of our Mishnah is Reb Shimon. So of course, who would you think you paskin like? Stam Mishnah. You should paskin like Reb Shimon. So that being the case, the Rosh here is astounded about Shitas HaRif. The Rif just quotes our Mishnah. And one would get the impression that we don't paskin like Reb Shimon. Sounds like we paskin like Reb Yehuda. Otherwise, the Rif should have to say that Aniim Rono Samki Lubnei Cholrin Shelo Nafseim. I mean, Ashirim and Aniim Kipchusin Shabahen. Why did the Rif leave that out? That's the kasha that the Rosh asks.
I mean, why would Shimon also has to read the Mishnah? Like, Shimon is the...
Yeah, but you have to explain the Mishnah. Now, there's in a million billion years from the Mishnah, you would never get to Rabbi Shimon, right? Because the Mishnah sounds like Rabbi Yehuda. That's an excellent question. We're going to return to that. But however you answer the question, in the end of the day, the Gemara says, Masnisin is Rabbi Shimon. But from the Mishnah, you won't realize that. So the answer is that, as is very often the case, the Braisa explains the Mishnah. The Mishnah is vague. The Mishnah certainly implies that Hakol if you have a vision is by you sounds like at every level. But from the Braisa we see that the Mishnah's view must mean Aniim are Roanov son Kipchusin Shabbat. We have no choice. But if you're the Rif, you'll have to say that. And he doesn't. So the Rosh has a pilpul to answer this question, basically. He says, well, it's true. You would be left confused a little bit from our Mishnah, but what about the Mishnah at the end of the Perek? Because the Mishnah at the end of the Perek is a different machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Akiva. And based off of the Shagel of Tarn and the Gemara, it turns out that the Tanakama is Rabbi Shimon, and that being the case, the Rif was Somech on that. He writes, Venera, this is in Sif Zayin of the Rosh, De Samach Amas Nisan De Lekaman Hakolafi Kvodo Umasek De Lekula Kamar Rabbi Kiva Kamar La Al Allah Afilu Anim Shabi Yisrael Rano San Kilu Hem B'nei Chorin Shiar De Menech Seim. According to Rabbi Akiva, so we look at everybody as Ashirim Shiyodim Nechseyan, the Chayav Litein Arba Me'o Zuz, Lo Sania. So let's say you embarrass the Ania, so you give her 400 Zuz, which is the Shiyar of the Tanakama. So what does that show? That the Tanakama says that the maximum is 400 Zuz, which is the amount that you, that in Ben Chorin Shiyotzim Nechseyan would get. So it turns out that Ashirin are Kibnei Chorin Shiyodim Nechseyan, because it says a kolafi chavodo, and less than that for an ani, and that's Rabbi Shimon. So, from that whole cheshbon that the Gemara has later on, from the Mishnah at the end of the parak, you could be medayik that our Mishnah as well is Rabbi Shimon. Good. So that's the pshat in the Rif. But the problem is the Rambam. Why? The Rambam also does not quote Rabbi Shimon. The Rambam writes in Halacha Aleph, Perek Gimel, Ketz Mishana Bosha, so call him Vaisha Mizbayish, Eno Doma Mizbayish, Minakotan, Mizbayish, Minagodol, Umachoba, Chazah, Shabiasho, Zakal, Hekel Bosh, Domiruba. Fine. In other words, the Rambam just quotes our Mishnah, right? And the Lacha Mishnah points out that the Yish of the Rosh against the Rif couldn't possibly work for the Rambam, because he doesn't quote the next Mishnah in that whole shtickle. In other words, even if in the Rif you could somehow be medayik from the analysis of the Mishnah later on, that it must be that the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak holds like Rabbi Shimon, that deal couldn't be said in the Rambam, and therefore it's clear that the Rambam is paskening like who? Rabbi Yehuda. So the problem is, it's against the Gemara. Right? So, we're out of time. So, the cliffhanger for today is to figure out the Pshat and the Rambam. You could look at the Markevus HaMishnah. You could also look at the Amshel Shlomo. And if you want a tremendous Pshat, you should look at the Gaon. The Gra. Anar Halacha, Simin Tav Chaf, Sif Katan Lamed Aleph. So that's going to be the first thing we'll talk about tomorrow. The next thing we're going to talk about the tomorrow is Kavana in Boshes, which is the halacha that comes up really in the next Mishnah. It comes up over here as well. That you need Kavana. We're going to talk about Boshes Takatan. It's also, again, the bottom. You could do it before the Mishnah, you could do it afterwards. We're talking about Miskavim, Levi Shazev, Vie Shazev. And I'd hope, Boshes to Aram, I hope we're going to get to, let's say, the next Mishnah. Not sure if we will, but it would be, in theory, very nice. We have a longer day tomorrow, so hopefully we'll get to that. Okay.
What do you mean we have a longer day tomorrow?
Longer mornings.
Longer mornings.
Well, less total.
Because we don't have...